This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com. Today is Tuesday, December 19th, 2006. And let me get some music going. I thought I had it going, but I guess I don't. Let's see. Okay, that's probably too loud. I'm listening to some more of this A New World Christmas that I downloaded from iTunes. So I am continuing to listen to that. Although this song isn't all that peppy, but anyway. We're just going to listen to some of that in the background. And I do have some topics tonight, but I'm going to start out with some bunch of listener comments that we've gotten lately. On last Thursday's show called Pink Tea Party, we got 8 comments from different people. We heard from Mike Hip a couple times, actually 3 times. Then we heard from Michael Sage, and we heard from Nick Thomas. And Nick Thomas has changed his the feed and links to his podcast and website and stuff. So go to the comments and check that out on the show Pink Tea Party. And we heard from VJ of VJNet or VJNetcast. Now I have to say I have not listened to his show, but that's what I'm going to definitely have to look into or check it out. He mentioned that he has the same birthday as, not the same birthday, but he's born in February too, because they were talking about being born in February. And he said, VJ Netcast said, I should think about a headset. Archer must skip my Skype conversations I have because the audio is not up to his standards. I'm sorry, VJ Netcast. I have not listened to your show, but I will definitely listen to it in the future. And then, so check out those comments. And then I'm trying to look for the ones that have questions. Tits and Feathers. We heard from Nick Thomas, Calvin. Is he having questions there? No. Washington Brian. We finally heard from Washington Brian and Dave and VA. I thought those guys were, AWOL. But no, as it turns out, they have moved to Seattle. So that's why they were not listening or commenting much, because they were busy. But Washington Brian, and this was on the show. Which one is this now? Tits and Feathers. I already said that. Washington Brian says, Archer, you are a podcast Nazi. The poor listener who was ejected for not having a headset. Yes, I know, but I think he understood that you have to have some decent audio quality to, be on the show. Plain and simple. And then Dave in VA, we hear from him too. He says, I also don't like tattoos or piercings on my body, but have seen some tattoos that were sexy on others. So I am glad to see that Dave and VA and Washington Brian are back. Thank you. Now, about the Pink Tea Party, I got a lengthy email from Big Fatty about pink teas. Now, I want to read this because he explains the origin of a Pink Tea Party, or just called Pink Teas. And it says, by the way, thank you, Big Fatty, for this information. It says, when women were campaigning to receive the vote in the early 1900s, their suffrage meetings were frequently disrupted by opponents. Many women were forbidden by their husbands or fathers to attend these meetings, and others simply did not have the confidence to do so because of the strong, chaotic opposition. Pink teas were developed as a way for women to gather and discuss various issues of importance, including suffrage. Only women were invited, and frilly decorations and many pink doilies festooned the tea tables. Only the organizer of the pink tea knew if there would be a formal discussion on strategies to obtain the vote or just pleasant conversation. So, if opposition appeared, the organizer could change the subject. As a result, the opposition, who were usually men, felt uncomfortable about attending a tea, particularly a pink tea, and would generally avoid interfering in order to avoid, embarrassment. But perhaps even more important, the good-hearted men who generally feared for the safety of their wives at political meetings were far more comfortable about their loved ones attending a pink tea. Teachers have often encouraged their students to host a pink tea in celebration of their study about the Famous Five. They invite parents and other community guests to join them for an afternoon tea and a conversation of consequence, where they were where they share their views on an issue that challenges their community. This is an excellent opportunity for students to use the knowledgeable, use the knowledge they have gained, as well as put their critical thinking skills to use in a debate about issues of importance. To add to this special occasion, students might also dress in period costumes with old-fashioned hats and present the Reader's Theater performance, which is also available on the site. Oh, I don't know a site. Obviously, Big Fatty found this on the site, and I was just reading it, not realizing it came from some kind of website. Anyway, Big Fatty, thank you so much for the explanation of what a pink tee is. So I kind of think that it fits with choosing the topic of pink tee. Now, I have to say at the same time that last week we got an email from Paul in Philadelphia, I believe, and he gave us lots and lots of suggestions for names of our group discussions on Skype. And I'm just going to name a couple of them. He just like listed them. Bitching with Archer, Gay Gum Flapping, Chum Chats, Chatty Cathy's, What's Your Opinion, Mark? I like that one. What's Your Opinion, Mark? Shooting the Breeze with Archer and Friends, Talking the Macbeth Sisters, How to Avoid Sounding Skypey. I like that one too. Nattering Nancy Boys and Bandage with the Boyfriend or Mr. B. Very good. Thank you, Paul. So I'm definitely going to use some of those in our titles for our chit-chats on Skype. Now, the show that John Ong did, sticking with the whole podcast theme here just for a minute, John Ong posted his show on Monday about, let me go to his website and tell you, because I was on that show. It was called Online 200, number 200, his 200th show was called Voices. And he had a bunch of queercasters talk about why they podcast and what's their goal for podcasting. And I was on that show. And one thing I didn't do, which is really was something I probably should have done, is congratulate John Ong on his 200th show. Because I didn't do that, but everybody else did. Sorry, John. Congratulations on your 200th episode. That's you know, a great accomplishment. Everybody loves you, and I hope you continue podcasting because you're one of the originals. And just as a nice little, holiday gift, I donated to John Ong's show through my PayPal account, and I also donated to the Mobitalk Jingo system because I use that. So, and I encourage other people to donate as well. Congratulations, John. And back to the comments, because now we have comments from Monday's show. Just three comments. One from Michael of QCast Connecticut, and he writes, why don't you use one of your many, many iPods in your car rather than burning MP3 CDs? Well, Michael, let me explain a couple things. First of all, you can use your iPod in two different ways. You can plug it in if your car comes equipped with the auxiliary jack or an iPod ready jack. Or you can use the FM transmitter way with the iPod. Well, I had an FM transmitter with my old iPod, and it just was not a very good signal and did not give you a very good quality sound. And when I plug in, so I don't like the FM transmitter thing. Now, my car does come equipped with the auxiliary jack to plug in my iPod. However, what I have found is that I do not, ahead of time, set up a playlist that I want to listen to, and then you have to fumble with the iPod choosing the songs that you want to listen to if you don't do the party shuffle thing. So I don't really like using the iPod in the car that way. So what I do is, because my car radio will play an MP3 disc, I can create a CD at home with all of the songs that I'm interested in hearing, like all of my Christmas songs. And a CD will hold about 120 MP3 files, so I can load up randomly at that too, songs and burn a CD, and then I don't have to, you know, fiddle with the iPod choosing the songs or, using the FM transmitter. So I just prefer the discs. I think it's easier that way. So that's why I choose to do that, Michael. Then we got another comment from Homer, and he just simply said, Campbell's chicken noodle soup? You kill me. And that's in reference to the dinner party where the boyfriend served me Campbell's chicken noodle soup and everyone else mushroom soup that he made from scratch. Oh, well. Yeah, Homer. Chicken noodle soup from Campbell's. It's delicious. It's good. And then here's from Mike Hipp. And this is actually one of the topics I want to talk about tonight. Mike Hipp wrote, "Sorry to be off topic, Archer. I was wondering, though, do you and Mr. Boyfriend have an opinion on the Anglican church split that was announced today? I mean, considering that the biggest and most famous of the churches that split was in your neck of the woods." Now, to explain this for anybody who hasn't been paying attention to the news, I think this was actually announced on Sunday, but possibly Monday. I thought I heard it on late Sunday, but anyway, it's the I went to WashingtonPost.com to get the exact information, but it says 7 Virginia Episcopal parishes vote to sever ties. Same-sex unions, choice of gay bishops spark conservatives break from the church. Now, what Mike Hipp was referring to is that one of the churches, actually the largest church, is right here in my neighborhood, and literally it's just right down the street. I know exactly where it is. But I'll read a little bit of this article, and I'll tell you what I think. It says, at least 7 Virginia Episcopal parishes opposed to the consecration of a gay bishop and the blessing of same-sex unions have voted overwhelmingly to break from the U.S. church in a dramatic demonstration of widening rifts within the denomination. 2 of the congregations are among the state's largest and most historic, Truro, I think that's how you say it, Truro Church in Fairfax City, and the Falls Church in Falls Church, which have roots in the 1700s. Their leaders have been in the vanguard of a national effort to establish a conservative alternative to the Episcopal Church, the U.S. wing of the 77 million member worldwide Anglican Communion. The results of the week-long vote announced yesterday sets up the possibility of a lengthy ecclesiastical and legal battle for property worth tens of millions of dollars. Buildings and land of Truro and the Falls Church are valued at about $25 million, according to the Fairfax County records. The votes are fresh evidence of an increasingly bitter split within the U.S. Episcopal Church. 7 of its 111 dioceses have rejected the authority of presiding U.S. Bishop Catherine Jeffords Shorey, I don't know how to pronounce that, installed in November as the first woman to head the Anglican Church. Shorey, I don't know how to pronounce her name. She supports Gene Robinson, who is an openly gay elected bishop of New Hampshire in 2003. Quote, "I grew up in the Episcopal Church. I hope I don't cry when I talk about this," unquote, said shaken Katrina Wagner, 37, an accountant and member of Truro's vestry, after the congregation's vote was announced. "But the issue is, are we going to follow Scripture?" she says. Bishop Peter James Lee of the Diocese of Virginia said yesterday in a statement that he was saddened by the church's decision, but that he would not yield in seeking to retain ownership of the parish's land and buildings. The two congregations voted not only to sever ties with the U.S. church, but also for a resolution saying that they should keep the property. "As stewards of the historic trust, we fully intend to assert the church's canonical and legal rights over these properties," said Lee, who is scheduled to meet today with the executive board and standing committees of the diocese to discuss the situation. Truro and the Falls Church, with a combined membership of more than 3,000, will form the core of what is envisioned as a new Fairfax-based mission of the Conservative Episcopal Church of Nigeria. The head of the Nigerian church, Archbishop Peter Ankinola, has voiced support for a pending law in that country that includes prison sentences for gay sexual activity. Excuse me. The Reverend Martin Minns of Truro Church is a missionary bishop of the splinter group known as CANA, Convocation of Anglicans in North America, said that although the dissident Virginia churches believe that homosexuality is banned in Scripture, they do not support criminalization of gay sex. You know, I'm not going to read this whole thing, but I'm going to go on to tell you what I think about this and what I will say that the Falls Church, the largest of the two that's right down the street from me, that church, one of its founding members or one of its one of the first people with it associated with the church was George Washington himself, President George Washington. Anyway, okay, so what's my opinion on this whole thing? Well, first of all, as you have come to know from listening to my podcast, I am not a religious person at all. I do not subscribe to religions. I think that they are I'm not going to say that. I have come to realize that I am more of an atheist than I am an agnostic. So I really don't have religious beliefs whatsoever. However, since this church is right in my backyard and these people are splitting off from the main Episcopal church because of the more liberal leanings of the Episcopal church, makes me want to say these people are fucking crazy. Typical Virginians want to everything to be conservative and not grow with the times, and they want to believe in the scripture Bible as the only word, it's a literal interpretation of the Bible and so forth. Anyway, my issue actually is not the fact that they want to believe that way and think that gays shouldn't be in the church and so forth. I actually don't care about that. The part I do care about is the fact that they want to keep the property and the buildings that the churches have, grown up with or what is the word? That they have gained over the years of this church. Because my problem with that is that they're crazy. They should not be able to retain the property or the buildings because they belong to the national or the international Episcopal Church. Yes, the local parish is the one that over the years, whose money has, from the donations and stuff, has paid for the church's mortgage and so forth, all that. But what they're doing actually is purchasing it for the national organization of the Episcopal Church. It's not their own individual property. I don't think they should be able to keep it. That's what I actually have more of an issue with, that they're going to break away from the church and keep their property and their buildings, and that's just not right. They should, if they're going to break away, if they've decided to break away as a congregation, then they go out on their own and make their own, money and build their own church. The Episcopal Church owns that, the Episcopal, owns the building and the property, and they should retain it. So, anyway, so Mike Hip, that's the way I feel about it. I think these people are, one, crazy for the beliefs about homosexuality in the church, and women, for that matter, and two, they should not retain any of the property or the buildings that the congregations have paid for over the years for the National Episcopal Church. And their connection to the Nigerian church and the way that they feel about homosexuality is another crazy thing. I actually thought that Northern Virginia was much more liberal, but it's obviously there are pockets of these crazy, conservative idiots. Because I think the Episcopal Church has been traditionally more liberal than other churches. But anyway, enough about that. That's my feeling about that. So, Mike Hip, thanks for bringing that up, and hopefully that answered your question. Unfortunately, I don't know what the boyfriend feels about it because he's not here with me, and I can't ask his opinion on it. But anyway, that's how I feel about it. The other topic I want to talk about is something I saw on the news this evening, and that's about merit pay for teachers. Now, I know this is totally changing the topic. I mean, totally switching gears of but anyway, I saw this on the news on ABC News with Charlie Gibson, and it talks about school systems providing bonus pay for teachers of classrooms where the students show increased test scores. Now, the little piece on the news wasn't that detailed, but I'll just read a little bit of this article. It says, the Department of Education recently launched the first federal program to use bonuses to motivate teachers who raise test scores in at-risk communities by awarding the first $42 million of the $94 million Teacher Incentive Fund last month. Some states were already handing out merit pay, which remains a controversial subject in school systems. Some supporters say if it works in the private sector, why not try it among educators? In an effort to recruit, retain, and motivate teachers, the Houston Independent School District implemented a performance pay program that would reward individual teachers for their students' performance. Okay, now I'm not going to read this whole article, but here's the problem with that. Okay, let's say you have a class of 26 kids, and let's say this year, those 26 kids are hard workers, they don't have behavior problems, they're not on Ritalin for ADD, their parents are involved, you have everything's going right for you that year, and your students actually make progress, they take the test, and they do well in the test, you get a bonus. Hooray, hooray. Jump to the next school year where you have a class of 26 kids where, let's say, 13 of them are English as a second language students and don't understand what you're talking about and can't read, can't write, and have issues with behavior and family issues where the parents have to work three jobs to live in this area and cannot help their students with their homework and so forth. And unfortunately, those students do not do well on the standardized test, and you do not get a bonus. My point here is that bonus pay for teachers is wrong because it doesn't work. The change in the test scores has too many factors involved. You cannot rely simply on the teacher. There are too many other factors that play a part in the test scores of students at the end of the year. It's just you cannot base it on the teacher alone. Because a good example, I mean, granted, I am not in an at-risk area, and I teach in a pretty rich neighborhood, and, you know, parents are very involved, and the kids are all smart and all that crap. But as a comparison between the two school years from last year to this year, last year I had a terrible class. I had 27 kids, and probably 8 of them were behavior problems. 3 or 4 of them, parents did not participate in their students' education. They could care less. And some of them did not meet the benchmark for the end of the grade. I mean, for end of the school year. So if I were being on a bonus pay system, I would not have gotten my bonus last year. However, this year, I happen to have a very good class, smart kids, no behavior problems, parents very involved. They're all learning very well, and it's going to be a very easy year. And if I were to, you know, do the test score things, I would be getting a bonus this year. I mean, so that the idea that your teacher's pay is based on your students' test scores, it's kind of stupid. It's ridiculous because from year to year, your class changes. You cannot, you know, all the factors involved do not continue from year to year. It's just not a good, anyway, I just don't think merit pay is right for teachers. In my county, Fairfax County, about 10 or 12 years ago, and it was probably more, maybe longer than that, maybe 15 years ago, we had a merit pay system. And it was only around for like 3 years, and it failed because it did not raise any test scores. If anything, it actually isolated teachers and separated teachers. We would not work together because, let's say, you were doing something that was really working well with your students. You didn't want to share that with another teacher because that would raise their test scores too, and they would get the bonus. I mean, so it actually had a negative effect in our county, and they did away with it like 3 years later, so there's no more merit pay system in our county. So I think that all these school systems who think that merit pay is actually going to solve the problems is not going to work. I think they will find in time that merit pay is the wrong idea, and that's not the way to go. The actual way to go is to raise the salaries of all teachers. Make the career of teaching competitive with, let's say, stock market, stockbrokers or whatever, so people will want to get into the profession for the money, and then the good things possibly will happen. I'm not saying that it will, but I'm just saying pay teachers across the board good salaries, and they'll definitely feel better about doing a good job. Anyway, so the whole idea of bonus pay for teachers is stupid, and I know it doesn't work, and I think all these school systems are going to find that over time it's not going to work. And the biggest reason it's not going to work is because teachers will end up teaching to the test. They will avoid all of the other curriculum and simply teach to the test. Is that what you want? I mean, do you want, if we're going to, test scores are going to show that a kid can pass a test or that kids have mastered the information, you know? Think about it. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox there. I did want to mention one other thing. I'll stop talking. I've been gone a lot longer than I thought I was going to go. But the other thing I want to mention was how stupid, or my opinion, how stupid is the Time, Time Magazine's Person of the Year? They put you on the cover of the Time Magazine. I understand their concept that with, you know, everybody's online, you can do your YouTubes and your MySpaces and everybody's online, but you know, nobody wants to see that. They want to see an actual person you choose. I just thought that was stupid. Anyway, all right, boys and girls, I have rattled on long enough. If you have an opinion about the Anglican Church breaking away from the Episcopal Church, go to the comment section of the website and you can leave a comment. And especially this one, if you have an opinion about bonus pay or merit pay for teachers based on students' test scores, please let me hear your opinion on this, because obviously there are varying opinions on this topic. Obviously, you just heard mine. Anyway, now tomorrow is Wednesday, boys and girls, and I may not have a podcast, and here's why. Today, or I should say this evening, the boyfriend is coming over. And I'm making him a nice dinner, and I'm going to give him his Christmas presents and so forth. So I may not have time to record a show, so unless I can get the boyfriend to do one with me, we'll see. But if you don't see a show on Wednesday, or if I post something that says no show today or something, you will understand why, that I will be spending my quality time with the boyfriend. Because, you know, we don't get together during the week. This is a rare opportunity for us to spend time together because he's going away. He's leaving Friday for New Orleans for the holidays, so I won't see him, so we're getting together during the week. So I have to take advantage of the special time. But anyway, if you don't see a show and you see that, you'll understand why. All right, boys and girls, that's all for today. I want to thank you all for listening, and I want you to check out John Ong's 200th show. Congratulations, John Ong. And leave comments on the website. That's all for today, boys and girls. Until next time, bye. Usher Ray.